Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning, and it's good to be able to come together to worship God. In the scripture reading of Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, Hosea writes that they have sown to the wind and they will reap the whirlwind. They have sown idolatry. Earlier there in the reading, they had made idols, they had left God, they had put up kings, but not by God's choosing, and they had left God, the northern nation of Israel, Hosea writing to them, the northern kingdom, the northern tribes. And after writing this book, they would be taken away into the Assyrian captivity in 722 BC. God said that He's going to bring judgment upon them, and it came. But they sowed to the wind, and they reaped the whirlwind. They got more than what they bargained for. I want us to talk a little bit this morning about sowing our wild oats. Do you remember that expression that maybe we heard growing up, meaning that we go out and we engage in things that are foolish or maybe even immoral, and we're having a good time and we're really enjoying that, but we don't think about the consequences. And so Israel was sowing to the wind, and they weren't thinking about that they were going to reap the whirlwind, which is even greater judgment, greater problems. And so this morning I want us to think about that. I'm sure looking back over our lives, we can all understand that maybe in the past we've done something that's reckless. We've done something that's foolhardy. We've done something that's immoral. We've thought or said or done something that is not right. And a lot of times this happens in our youth, and we describe it as sowing our wild oats. Because we've been taught by the world around us to go out and engage in things and have a good time, and you don't have to worry about that. Well, I want us to worry about that. I want us to think about that in light of God's Word. Can you look back over your life? Can I look back over mine? And can we see some things that we've done that we are now ashamed of doing? I think we can all relate to that. We can look back at a time where we weren't thinking. Maybe even we knew God's Word. Maybe we had Christian parents and we still did what we did that was wrong. And we look back over that and we wish that we hadn't done that. There are some people that have done those kinds of things, and now they are literally looking at the consequences later in life. They bear those burdens. They bear those consequences later in life. It may be a child out of wedlock, or it may be a number of other things, and we can't escape that. And it's a constant reminder of the wild oats that we sowed years ago. So I want us to think about this matter this morning, and I want us to think about being right with God and making sure that our life is right with God. When you look at this expression, sowing your wild oats, I find it interesting that today in our society, many excuse this behavior. It's just something that you're supposed to do. You know, after all, boys will be boys, you know, and this is just something that we all see people doing. And a lot of times in our society, it's excused. It's viewed as something that is natural and something that is to be expected. And it's sort of a rite of passage that we all grow up. And, you know, when we get about teenage years or college years, you know, you're supposed to go out and have a good time, and you're supposed to go out and live it up. That's what we do in our society, you see. And so this person is just simply carrying out their natural and expected behavior. We hear that a lot. And sometimes a person's immoral behavior or foolish behavior is downplayed because, after all, he or she is supposed to be doing this kind of thing about this time in their life. Whereas God's Word describes it as sin, our society says, well, it's just something to be expected. It's interesting, even among others, that not only is it expected, but among some, it's even encouraged. Their thought is that if a young person engages in these things, then they would be better equipped for life. So let them go out and experience these things, because then they'll learn, you see. Let them go out and talk this way and dress this way and engage in this immoral activity, and they'll learn some important lessons in life. It's actually encouraged. That's the opposite of the Apostle Paul. Turn with me to Romans chapter 16. When a young person is growing up, they don't need to engage in these things. They need to stay away from these things. They don't need to have knowledge of these things. They need to be inexperienced. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 19, I rejoice therefore over you, but I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple unto that which is evil. My version uses the word simple there. It means that which is, well, it's the opposite of wise. We don't have experience. We don't have knowledge of these evil things. We're like a simpleton, as it were. That's the way it needs to be. That's why we keep our young people away from those types of movies and music and other kinds of things that are detrimental to them. We don't want them having knowledge of that. I don't want my children at an early age to cuss and drink and smoke and fornicate and all that so that they can have experience in that. No, I want them to be simple. I don't want them to know about those things. That's what makes them equipped for life. You say, well why? Well, number one, if I keep them away from those things early in life, then they don't want to try it. They don't want to do those things. And number two, it's during those formative years where they're learning to put up a defense and guard against that which is evil. And so we carry them through those years and say, stay away from that behavior. Our society says, no, let them do that, then they'll be better equipped later in life. No, they won't. All it is just teaching them evil early on, and it often gets worse from there. Let's look at another example of this. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. No, there's no good in encouraging this behavior early on so that they'll be better equipped for life. No, we need to be simple and innocent toward those things during those formative years where we're learning to guard against that. We're to flee those things, not run headlong into them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. Brethren, be not children in mind. In other words, we need to grow up and mature. Yet, in malice, be babes. But in mind, be men. Look at that. In malice, be babes. And this is a babe here is symbolic of innocency. You don't have any experience. When it comes to malice, you need to be babes. You don't need to have any experience in that. You need to be innocent with regard to that. We need to stay away from those things, you see. So our society tells us that it's really no big deal when God says it is. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 8. Some time ago, we had a lesson from Proverbs chapter 22, and we were talking about the statement, train up a child. And we made the point that some of the best lessons to train our children follow that verse. A lot of times we'll just stop right there at Proverbs 22 and verse 6 and so forth. But if you'll follow the verses on down, those are some ways that we can train up our children. And look at verse 8. He that soweth iniquity shall reap calamity. So I want to talk this morning about sowing and reaping. Sowing our wild oats, you see. And if we sow iniquity, if we're planting those seeds of sin, whether it's early in our life or midlife or late life, it doesn't matter. If we're planting those seeds, we're going to reap some calamity. And I want us to talk about this matter of sowing our wild oats. If you look back at the times when we did something that was foolhardy and even sinful, at the moment that we were doing those things, what were we thinking about? We were just thinking about those things. We weren't thinking about the future. We weren't thinking about the ramifications and the consequences and what all is involved in the big picture. We're just thinking about the moment, aren't we? This morning, I want us to think about some other things that maybe we haven't thought of. For example, when we're sowing our wild oats, the one who sows will carry the haunting and scarring memory of those actions throughout his life. You ever thought about that? Well, I thought the Bible said that when we have forgiveness of sins, God remembers them no more. That's right, He doesn't. But you know what? You do. Can you think back of a day when you were young and you did something sinful? I can think of that like it was yesterday. You will never forget that. Now, we're forgiven and the sin is forgiven, but you can still remember it. And so when we're out sowing our wild oats, You can be forgiven of that, but you know what? You still have to think about it the rest of your life, those things that you did. Turn with me to Psalm 51 with regard to David's psalm, and it's attributed to him with regard to his sin with Bathsheba. Psalm 51, verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." You'll always remember those things. You can't get it out of your mind. The day that you did such and such, or the day that you did such and such. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 through 5. When Judas brought back the money, and he gave it back to those priests, and I betrayed innocent blood, he went out and hung himself. He thought about what he had done. You can't just put that out of your mind. You can't betray the Lord for 30 pieces of silver and just act as if that never... That was on his mind, and it drove him to go out and hang himself now. In Luke chapter 22, when Peter got done denying the Lord, well, somebody says, well, that was right after it happened. Well, of course we're going to remember things right after it happened, but you also remember it years later. And so when Peter did this, he went out and wept bitterly. Now, we're not thinking about that. When we go out and sow our wild oats, we're just thinking about the moment. But you think about 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you still have that scarring memory of what you did. Paul, writing toward the end of his life, in 1 Timothy 1:13, says that I was a violent aggressor. I was a blasphemer, an injurious, and a persecutor. He never forgot that. He was forgiven of it, but he always had that in his mind. And so we need to think about that. We just don't think. This lesson this morning is about thinking about some things that maybe we haven't thought of. And one of them is, we're going to have to carry that memory with us. Another thing is that one who sows his wild oats may cause others to stumble after his own bad example. You know, we're not the only one on the planet. That may come as some surprise to us. But we're not the only one on the planet. And when we do something and we're not living right and we're, well, I'm going to live any way I want, you might have a brother that you're going to influence for the worse. You know what? You might have a sister. You ever thought about that? She may follow your example. Your brother may follow your example. You may have a friend. You may have someone else. That, well, if they're going to do this, then maybe I'm going to do this. And you know what? Now you have just caused somebody else to stumble after your own... We don't think about that, you see. Oh yeah, I hadn't thought about that. So do I want a sibling to be traveling the same road to hell that I'm traveling? Do I want a family member or a friend to see me and begin to do that very thing? We've got to think about that, friends. See, the devil says, oh, don't worry about any of these other things. Just sow your wild oats. Well, there's some other things that come along with it. And so in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6, "But whoso shall cause one of these little ones that believe on me to stumble, it is profitable for him that a great millstone should be hanged about his neck and that he should be sunk in the depth of the sea." How dare you, you see, influence someone else? It's better for you to have this big old stone around your neck and you be drowned than for you and your influence to cause somebody else to stumble. That's how serious that is. But we don't think about that. It's just, well, it's my life. Well, it is my life. And I'm living my life. And I'm having a good time. But you may have a brother or a sister or a mom or a dad or a niece or a nephew that's looking at you and down the road follows your example. You ever thought about that? And we're going to be judged for that. So we've got to think about that. We've got to be setting the right example for those around us, not leading them astray. Do you know that the one who sows their wild oats often reaps unintended consequences? Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. See, the devil says, well, you know, when you go out and sow your wild oats, the only thing you're going to get is just what you're sowing. You know, you're just going to get something at the moment. You don't think about anything else. No, you get a lot more than what you bargained for. There are unintended consequences. And in Luke chapter 15, with regard to the prodigal son, the man says, I want to come and I want you to give me my inheritance. And then in chapter 15 and verse 13, he took his journey into a far country and he wasted his substance in riotous living. If you stop right there, he's wasting his substance in riotous living. The word riotous there means that which is without restraint. Just profligate, just any wasteful, without restraint, without thinking. But it doesn't stop there. When he spent all, verse 14, there arose a mighty famine in the country, and he began to be in want. And when the citizens, when he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country and sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave him to eat. Oh, I didn't plan on that one. That's right, you didn't. And when we're sowing our wild oats, we don't plan on some of the things that come along with that. And we get more than what we bargained for. So don't be fooled by the devil. Well, if you go out and do this act, it's just going to be that act. No, it could be that plus several other things. And we talk about sexually transmitted diseases, and we talk about getting in trouble with the law, and we talk about other kinds of consequences, bodily harm, other kinds of things. It's a package. And so we need to be thinking about it's a bitter harvest. A lot of times when we sow our wild oats, quote unquote, we're not thinking about these other things, and we need to be. One who sows his wild oats is wasting his time. He's depriving God of the time that he could be using, the precious hours and days and weeks and months that he could be using in the Lord's service. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul, looking back on his life, realized that what he was doing before he became a Christian was persecuting the church, and he was doing that which was contrary to God. And when he became a Christian, you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to make up for lost time. When we're out sowing our wild oats, every minute of the day we're doing that. That is, every minute that we are in the devil's kingdom and the devil's service, and we're not in God's kingdom and God's service, and we're robbing him of the moments that we could be talking with someone about the gospel, influencing someone for good. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles. I am not meet or suitable to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not found in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. When Paul became a Christian, he worked hard, realizing that what he had before, what were years of kicking against the goads, going against God, and now I'm going to work hard to make up for that. I'm considering all of that loss, Philippians 3, 6 through 9. I'm not going to go back to that. But when we're out sowing our wild oats, we're depriving God and Jesus of the precious years of service that we could be giving Him. We don't think about that, do we? We don't think about the time that God gives us to use to share the gospel and teach someone and worship and read our Bible and pray and all those good things. We're wasting that time and we can't get it back. We're not going to get it back. We have one life, you see. We need to think about that. How are we using our waking moments? The one who sows his wild oats forfeits the great blessings of the Christian life. Not only are we wasting precious years for God, but we're wasting our own years that we could be used in the best life on the face of the earth. There is no life better than being a Christian.
And we're going through having a good time and sowing our wild oats, and the world says that this is the high life, but you are missing out on the best life ever. And that is the life of a Christian.
So, Felix, Acts 24, verse 25, he says to Paul, when we have a more convenient season, then you come back. You're wasting the time that you could have been a Christian. And that convenient season may never come. And then you have Agrippa in Acts 26 and verse 28. Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. Well, you should have just become one and started living that great Christian. Well, I'm just going to be an almost Christian. No. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is yours, Ephesians 1:3, when you're a Christian. But it's not when you're not a Christian. Turn over to Philippians 4:4-7. We have peace that passes all understanding. We can, each day, we can rejoice in the Lord. We can be happy as a Christian. You don't have that when you're not a Christian and when I'm not a Christian. And the reason I say that so forcefully is that our world is telling us the opposite. Our world is telling us, no, the life that you're supposed to have is this worldly life. No, it's not. Godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 4:8. That's where it has the promise of the life that now is, the Christian life, and that which is to come in heaven. It's not in the world. It's not in sowing our wild oats. It's not in goofing off and having a good time and carefree and speeding down the road, just living and loving life. No, no. It's about being a Christian. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. He that would love life and see good days, let him refrain from evil. Not go out and engage in it. That's where the life is. It's refraining, you see. Keeping our lips back from speaking evil and other kinds of things. That's where the life is at. And when we're out sowing our wild oats, we're forfeiting all of that. We're wasting God's precious moments. And number two, we're not even experiencing the best life that there is. Oh, Brother Reese, you don't understand. It's in drinking and cussing and fornicating and taking drugs and shooting someone and all these other things that someone could do. No, it's not. Because the moment we do that, there may be some physical high, but that is soon over with. And all of a sudden, we've messed up our body, we're facing the law, a host of other things. No, that's not where the life is. When was the last time you saw a beer commercial and it showed someone who had wasted their money on that and they can't pay bills? Or someone stumbled over drunk puking in a back alley? When was the last time you saw a commercial like that? They don't show that. And on and on and on. And so when you listen to the music that says go out and do this, or the movies, they don't show reality. That's fantasy. That's not reality. That is a Hollywood made-up world. It's not realistic. Or at least they try to stay away from the realistic consequences of those actions. The good life is being a Christian. That doesn't mean that Christians don't have hardships and things, but they don't have the consequences of sin. The proverb writer says, the way of the transgressor is hard. We need to remember that. The world says, oh, it's no big deal. No, it's hard. And you're going to pay, and I'm going to pay. And it's like being enslaved. In fact, Jesus talks about that, that we are those who are in sin are bond servants of the devil. John chapter 8. Is that some easy life? The slave's life? Is that an easy? No. No, it's a bond servitude. And it's going to be a hard way. The one who sows his wild oats may never obey the gospel, or if they were once a Christian and fallen away, they never may be restored. Oh, I got plenty of time. We got plenty of time to obey the gospel.
You see, I'm young, I'm maybe early teens or college age or whatever it is, and I've got plenty, there's going to be plenty of invitation songs and plenty of times that I can go down there and get baptized. I'm just going to have a good time. You know what? People that think that way, it often never comes. It often never comes.
First of all, they could get so hardened, the Hebrew writer talks about hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. They're up here having this good time, and early on they're thinking, well, I'll obey. But then as they get so hardened, well, that gets tossed out the window. I'm supposed to remember my Creator in the days of my youth. Turn back there. I need to remember my Creator in the days of my youth. But read the next part of the verse. Before the evil days come and the years draw nigh when I will say, I have no pleasure in them. It can come a time when I get to the point in my life when, oh, that Bible thing and prayer and going to church, no, I don't like that anymore. And then in the rest of the chapter, it just talks about old age. And one day we're going to die. And then when that day comes and death interrupts all of this, then there's certainly no opportunity to obey the gospel when we die. The Hebrew writer talks about that there are Christians that when they fall away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. They get so far gone that they don't come back. And when we get to that point, we're going to face God in judgment. And there won't be any opportunity to make it right. Death may come along. Do you remember we had a lesson not long ago about the rich farmer, the foolish farmer? In Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, he's out building barns and bigger barns. He hadn't taken care of his soul. This night thy soul is required of thee. Bang, all of a sudden. How about the rich man and Lazarus? Luke chapter 16, 22 and 23. Fared sumptuously every day. But then he died, and he's in torment, and all of that, will all obey the gospel, that's out the window. And now it's just the prospect of eternal hellfire. Our life is like a vapor, friend, and it may come sooner than we think. We've got one life to live. It is appointed unto man once to die, then cometh the judgment. But when we're off sowing our wild oats, I'll obey the gospel when I get done with all this. That may never come. So we need to think seriously about that very thing. Nothing beneficial comes from sowing your wild oats. There's not one thing. Regardless of what society says, oh, it'll help prepare you for life later, or this is just something that young people do. No. There's not one beneficial thing in sowing iniquity. Not only that, but there are all these other things that come with it that often we don't think about. The haunting memory. You know, you can look back and remember the very day and what you were doing when you were doing something wrong. You can remember that to this day. You know you can. I remember the very day I looked my father in the eye and I just lied to him outright. I remember that as if it were yesterday. And that was like 12 years old or so. You're going to remember it. You may take someone with you to hell. Oh, no. I'm just doing that. No. You may take your brother or sister with you. You may take some member of the church with you. Or someone else. Well, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, you might. And then that'll be on your hands. There's unintended consequences. There's the wasted time. There's the blessings of being a Christian that we could have that we're just ignoring. And then there's the very real possibility that we may never obey. And when we die, it'll certainly be over with then. So, as we come to the close of our lesson this morning, the water's ready. If you want to change into something, you can. Stop sowing your wild oats and come and obey the gospel. And here's why. God is not mocked. You can fool your parents, your spouse, and whoever else you want to fool. But you will not. I will not mock God. When we sow our wild oats, He's going to make sure we reap the consequences of that. And it is corruption. And it will be eternal hellfire. On the other hand, if we will sow into the Spirit, and that is obey what the Holy Spirit says and bear His fruits and do what He says, obey His gospel, we will reap eternal life. But God will not be mocked. Someone is out sowing their wild oats and they're saying, well, I haven't affected anybody and I haven't caught some sexually transmitted disease and I'm not, you know, puking out in the back. I'm not doing it. So I'm getting by pretty good. Well, there are people who sow their wild oats and, you know, they reap the consequences of that. But in the judgment day, they're going to stand some severe punishment. We can't get off scot-free. So let's be thinking about that. Be not deceived. Our society wants to deceive us and tell us that it's no big deal. God is trying to tell us through His Word that it's a very big deal. And all the way back to Hosea, He's saying, you have sown to the wind. Just throw it out there. Let it live any way we want. And here comes the whirlwind. God's judgment on them. Temporal judgment there with the Assyrian captivity. So let's be mindful of these things that often the world doesn't want to talk about. The devil doesn't want us to know about these things. There are things that come along with reckless living. And so let's be mindful of that. If there's someone this morning that needs to respond, that needs to stop that. On the day of Pentecost, they were told to repent. That is, stop that behavior and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Stop it and then wash it away in baptism. And if you need to do that this morning, we would encourage you to do that. Or as an erring child of God, maybe we have gone back in to a way of life that we shouldn't be in. Maybe we've gone back to that world. In fact, Peter describes it as a dog returning to his vomit now. Somebody says, well, you know, when I'm a Christian, and well, that's a drag, and I, you know, always have to toe, you know, this certain line. I want to go back out to the world. That's where it's at. And there are those in a very short distance from this building who could be here and who could be worshiping God. But you know where they're at? They're back out in the world. And when you talk with them, they're just having a good time. No, that's vomit. That's what that is. And so in 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 through 22, when a Christian leaves and goes back, it's like a dog returning to his vomit, you see. They've known the way of righteousness. No. That's what's happening. And if we're like that, God's grace and God's mercy and love, His arms are extended for even that person to come back. But we need to do it before it's everlasting too late. If we can encourage you to make that change in your life this morning, why won't you come as we stand and sing? When we walk with